Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on the website at DougHaldeman.com. Or Smart With Your Money is what we've changed to.
Yeah, actually, visit our new site, smartwithyourmoney.com. And be sure and like us on Facebook. Visit Doug Haldeman Show on Facebook and hit that like button like 3,000 other fans in St. Louis have done.
That's right.
So I want to welcome my co-host today, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tam.
I'm a little exhausted, hon.
Yes. Been a long weekend.
It has. We're in the process of remodeling, and I'm tired of it.
Yes. School, back to school tomorrow. We've got a... It's been a busy
Yikes.
Weekend.
Yeah, it's a mess.
That's okay, though. I'm glad we're here.
Yep.
This
yep.
is our break, right?
Yeah, this is our break, actually.
All right, well, I want to welcome to the studio. We have special guest Heath Keller, Senior Loan Officer at Cornerstone Mortgage. Welcome, Heath.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you've been a frequent guest with us. Always appreciate your expertise.
Absolutely.
High-level mortgage stuff.
Absolutely. Love giving my expertise all the time.
So you guys, one thing that came up because my son was wanting to know if I would co-sign on a loan, and I'm not so interested in it. So tell us a little bit about what happens when people come into you guys for a loan and need a co-signer, or you have another name for this too.
Yeah, we don't call it a co-signer, do we, Heath?
No, we call it a non-owner occupant co-borrower. Yeah,
non-occupant co-borrower.
That's a lot.
Yeah, non-occupant co-borrower, meaning they do not live in the house.
Okay.
But they're still co-signing the loan, typically for a kid.
Right.
I mean, Heath, isn't that the most common?
Yeah, it's usually lacking, you know, maybe some credit history. Maybe the credit's not all up to snuff, but it's somewhere, you know, or possibly income as well that when you bring in a co-signer.
Yeah, like an example of one that I had was they were doctors that were residents. And as residents, they're only making $45,000 a year, but they have a bajillion dollars in student loans. They're making almost just the payments that we have to count on the student loans are almost more than what their resident income is.
Okay.
Bring the parent in to help offset the income some. But when you do that, you have to make sure that the program that you're on will count non-occupant income, because Fannie Mae doesn't count non-occupant co-borrower income where Freddie Mac does and FHA does.
Okay. So if I'm coming in to you for a certain type of loan, you'll tell me what loans I can qualify for if I have non-occupant co-borrower?
Non-occupant co-borrower, a fancy word for co-signer, right, Heath?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and Heath, you learned a lesson recently because you had a non-occupant co-borrower, I remember, that they had no income that they were adding.
Correct.
But they were helping offset the credit.
Yep. So I had a parent that co-signed for their daughter, and they were not employed at the time, thinking that that may not help, but she had a good enough credit score and carried no debt load at all, where the actual credit score was able to offset and get her into a little bit lower down payment on her loan options.
Well, where it got even more complicated is that the mom that was co-signing was actually not on the loan for her house. Her husband was. Okay, but normally we would have to count the taxes and insurance against her still, which would have kept them from qualifying. And our lesson on it actually was that we don't have to count the taxes and insurance. If the loan that's against the property that's not in her name, if they escrowed for taxes and insurance, she's not obligated for that.
Or if she would not be on title, obviously. But yeah, with those taxes and insurance being escrowed, those debts do not have to be accounted against the co-signer in this situation.
Okay. When I would say the moral to the story there is that these situations can be a little bit complicated, and you have to be really careful who you go to for a mortgage, because you may go to somebody that doesn't know all these rules.
Right.
And they may not have quick access to have, you know, an underwriter or in our case, four underwriters right down the hall from us where we can go and make sure that these situations work out smoothly and closings still happen on time.
So basically the situations we're looking at are, I need extra income, and I need credit to offset the risk that I might be.
Either or, maybe okay. both.
Okay. Correct, yeah. Could All be right. both.
So, and does it count the debt for the non-occupant against them? Does that, so if I have a co...
Yes.
It
yes.
does. So that's oh, why we were talking okay. about in this situation where the co-signer was not on the home loan, on her personal home
okay.
loan. So we didn't have to count that against her. But if they would not escrow their taxes and insurance, we would have to count the taxes and insurance against her, even though she's not on the home loan because she's on title.
Okay.
So well, at that point, too, because the parents in the situation with Heath, the parents were also gifting money to their
okay.
kid. It changes the gift documentation at that point, too, Heath, right?
Yeah, it turns it directly into an asset at that point because the co-signer is now on the loan, so it's not a gift anymore, and it just makes the whole process a little cleaner process. So there's a lot of different ways to structure these loans, and the key is, you know, getting in touch with the right person that knows what they're doing to structure these correctly.
Absolutely. And in case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Heath Keller, and we have Tammy Haldeman here, and we are talking about non-occupant co-borrowers, which are basically the co-signing version of getting a mortgage, and we're also talking about gift funds. So, Heath, let's go down the path with gift funds for a minute. So explain some of the documentation that's required on a mortgage when it comes to gift funds.
So obviously gift funds have to be documented. You know, I always get the borrower that asks, you know, I got cash under the mattress. Here, can I give this to my son? And it has to be a documented source, obviously. So it has to be in a bank account. We have to supply a copy of the check once the gift is given to the borrower. And then also a statement from the gift donor themselves showing the money in the account. And basically the whole transfer of the money from person A to person B.
Okay. So that just went,
you understand
wow.
that?
Okay. So if grandma wants to give me some money, I can't just take it from her purse.
A little more complicated than that, isn't
it? I got to put it in the bank, and I have a whole bunch of other stuff I got to do. And you guys, when I come to visit you, will you help me understand all that, or where do I go to find
this
information?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to help you understand that, because if you do it incorrectly, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Okay,
it
so we have to make, yeah, it is difficult. So you have to make sure that the proper steps are followed from the beginning. And, you know, we get a little pushback sometimes from people because sometimes a parent doesn't want to supply their bank statement
right.
to prove to us that the money came from their account.
Okay.
And it's not always because they didn't have the money or something, but they just feel like it's intrusive.
It's intrusion, right, like privacy. They want to, right, I get it.
And there's some ways to get around that possibly. If you're doing a conventional mortgage, you can do a gift undeposited, so the parent wouldn't actually deposit the money in the gift in the borrower's account.
Okay.
And the underwriters are not required to get a copy of that bank statement at that point in time. So there's a little bit of ways around if we can go with a conventional mortgage to get around that.
So why is there so much documentation?
Ask our government that. Okay, so
did we vote on something and I didn't know?
No, this is, of course, none of the stuff that gets voted on, or it would never get voted in. But part of the Bank Secrecy Act is the anti-money laundering, or the AML, AML rules, what they call it. And this is going to govern banks, mortgage banks like us. And, you know, it's basically trying to prevent the laundering of money. So they create all these layers of checks and double checks to make sure that there's not money that's being laundered and that it actually is coming from the sources that it's supposed to be coming from.
Okay.
And so, obviously, ever since the housing collapse, that hasn't helped this whole situation. So everything's been getting, you know, everything's gotten a little tighter to keep everything in line.
Well, and a couple of examples of that is just, you know, the verification of gift funds that we just mentioned, but sourcing of down payment money. Okay, we have to see the bank statements, but we may also get a verification of deposit directly from the bank. We're even going to make them explain any large deposits that hit their bank account.
So any
deposit that's not a payroll deposit that's very obvious in a bank account, now you have to write an explanation for it. So during the loan process, probably not a good idea to like sell some large items on Craigslist and just dump the cash into your account unless you can document it.
Or if you want to dump the money in your account 60 days prior to obtaining a mortgage loan.
Right. That would be a better idea, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Make it where we don't ask those questions.
Well, are there some changes that have put some of this to prevent the mortgage fraud and reduce? What are some of those things?
Well, I mean, don't you think that really all this has been put in place to reduce the risk of lenders, you know, for lenders, because they want to know
there
that...
There was some fraud going on.
Well, there was a ton of fraud that used to go on in the mortgage industry. And unfortunately, the few bad apples that were doing that, make it where there's a lot more documentation required for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have, I call them Class A borrowers that have tons of assets, great credit score, and they still get rang through the same ringer as the borrower that just came out of bankruptcy 2 or 3 years ago, and so on. So,
well, and how about the, you know, the poor self-employed people? We really wring some documentation out of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, the DNA samples that we asked for, the toe clippings. You know, those may seem a little bit overboard, but you know, we need a little locket of your hair, please.
So, what are some of those things that you do to prevent, you know, to double check yourself, I guess.
Well, okay, so there's something called LQI, is Loan Quality Initiative, mm-hmm. that Fannie Mae came up with a few years ago, and it basically means that there's checks that have to happen right before closing. So they are going to re-pull somebody's credit within a couple days before closing, and that doesn't always go so well, does it, Heath?
Well, we try to do as much as possible up front in the educating the borrower. And let them know, do not go out and buy any new washers and dryers like they want to do with that new house.
Right, don't buy your furniture in advance.
Don't buy any furniture. Don't open up any credit cards. So we try to pound that into the borrower's head, even though we have had a couple instances in the office here lately where it's been pounded in their head, and we had a guy go out and buy a new Harley.
Yeah. So, nice. And it was a second Harley.
Yeah.
And his wife didn't even know about it.
Yeah. That's better yet.
Yeah, I love it when people find out about the debt, like when their spouse is sitting right there at the, you know, at the desk. They had no idea. They had go out and bought a Harley, and all of a sudden they can't buy their home. Or I just had one that they failed to make their credit card payments, and credit scores dropped by 70 points, and now they can't close on their loan.
Not good.
Yeah, just definitely not good when that happens. So, you know, keep paying your bills on time. Don't run up more debt, because that can affect your debt-to-income ratios and may push you over the edge. And that stuff does get checked. Or another one they check is verifying employment right before closing. Mm-hmm. We've had people that, you know, decide
they work somewhere but don't.
Or maybe they switch jobs right before closing, or maybe they quit their job right before closing,
right,
thinking that they've already qualified at that point. Not a smart thing to do.
Nope.
Well, and we even have to verify tax returns directly with the IRS, 4506T form, and that's getting more challenging with all the fraud that's gone on, with all the stolen identities with the IRS.
Oh, yeah,
that people, it becomes very difficult to even verify their tax returns with the IRS.
Wow, I bet that would delay it a little bit. For sure.
Yeah, here's some of the fun red tape that goes along with that. This is fairly entertaining, because if your CPA, let's say your CPA files your tax return and has your address wrong, okay, so if he spelled your street name wrong, which happens all the time, so when we send in our 4506 form to try to get a copy of the tax transcripts, now it prints right out of our loan application. Well, if our loan application is spelled correctly, the IRS is going to reject it.
Oh,
so we have
gosh.
To print a separate one off with your street name spelled incorrectly at that point.
Or to match with the
If it doesn't
file.
Match exactly, yeah. It's going to get rejected.
Wow. Yeah.
A little bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fun things we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
who wants to get in the mortgage business?
Yeah. Well, you guys really at Cornerstone seem to make it very smooth. It seems to go pretty quick and easy for people.
Well, and it's funny, because even with all this, we still have one happy client after another that mm-hmm. we do try to make this process as easy as possible. And that's, you know, as easy as possible while still meeting all these guidelines.
Right. We still got to go through and meet the guidelines. But at the end of the day, you know, our offices are set up where we have our underwriters in the office, our processors in the office. So when you apply with us, your file's not leaving our office.
That's good to know.
We have a group of specialized people that are, you know, touching your file, that are within our office every day. And that makes the process go a lot smoother for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that if somebody wants to go, hey, you know, they just need to make sure they really go to a reputable lender and somebody that can get through all the intricacies of these loans and make sure that your loan's going to close smoothly. If it's a purchase loan, it's really important that you want to close on time, because you may have moving trucks backed up, and it's disastrous if those don't close smoothly. Mm-hmm. On a refinance, it's still really important that it closes smoothly.
What's amazing is I came from the banking world, and a lot of the banks out there don't even understand what a loan commitment is,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
right.
And that's a very important date that we have to have the loan completely finalized. And if it's not finalized, we're taking a chance of losing the borrower's earnest money from there.
Right.
All right. Well, Heath, definitely appreciate you taking the time. If you can stick around, I want to bring in a special guest that's a referral partner of yours and a great real estate expert when we return. And if you are looking for a mortgage, definitely reach out to Cornerstone Mortgage. Any one of our branches are great, or you can reach out to the St. Charles office if you want to talk to Heath or talk to me. And you can get all of our information off our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.